Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Dr. Edwin DeYoung, Head of Predictive Analytics Technology at Quintic. And today we're going to talk about On the Track to Profitability, the Power of Pricing Analytics in Rail Freight. Now, you know, rail is one of those transportation modes that, you know, I'd say doesn't get enough attention out in the marketplace. You know, certainly trucking gets a lot of attention. You know, even what's happening with ocean these days with global trade gets a lot of attention. But rail, you know, is for many shippers, obviously, is a very integral part of the global logistics, you know, process and a very important mode for them. And obviously, rail operators, you know, play a critical role as well. And if you look at the headlines over the past, you know, few months, you've seen that there's been a lot of changes in the rail industry, not only here in the United States, but really around the world. So really understanding, you know, how can rail operators respond more effectively to these trends, which ultimately impact shippers, is you know, critically important for everyone in the supply chain and logistics ecosystem. And very privileged to have with us today Dr. DeYoung, who will, you know, share some insights on, again, working with rail operators and what's happening in the market, and more importantly, you know, the role that pricing analytics and technology can play in all of that. Just want to remind you that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you are watching live and you have a question as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button. And I will, you know, keep an eye on it. If it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. Just a reminder that if you are joining us as a visitor, you will have to sign in first with Spreecast in order to ask a question. So with that, Edwin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. Nice of you to invite me, and my pleasure.
Great. Being a first-time guest, you know, I always like to ask folks when they come in the program, you know, just get a little bit of a sense of their background, you know, how and why they got involved in supply chain logistics. So why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, you know, how and why you got involved in supply chain logistics, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Quintic?
Sure. My background is in machine learning research. I did my PhD in artificial intelligence, then went to Boston to do a postdoc at Brandeis University, then continued in research for a number of years. And then at some point I decided that I'd like to bring these ideas and algorithms more into practice. Then I set up a data mining company where we focused on forecasting algorithms and demand forecasting. And then I've been with Quintic since late 2012. And there, first I led the team that develops the demand planner. And currently I'm responsible for our activities in predictive analytics. And that's an area where, yeah, there's currently a lot of development.
Yeah, you know, predictive analytics, I think we could probably have a whole entire episode, you know, diving deep into, you know, predictive analytics, which is certainly one of the big buzz terms, you know, these days in all of supply chain, right? Because of all the, number one, all the data that's being generated out there, and then trying to convert that into, you know, actionable insights and being able to be more proactive as opposed to reactive. So great background. I think that, you know, as it pertains to the rail industry and kind of leveraging some of that technology, I think is obviously it's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. But before we kind of dive into the technology piece, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the state of the rail industry. I mean, it looks like I said in my opening comments, that both here in the U.S. as well as in Europe, you know, the market is very different today than it was even just a couple of years ago. What have been some of the big changes and what new challenges are rail freight operators facing today?
Yes. So fuel prices are very low, and that has reduced the prices in truck transport. That diverted some of the volume from truck transport, from rail to truck transport. And also in the U.S., the transport of coal and oil has dropped a lot. That also decreased the volume of transport a lot. So together, these factors really reduce the volume that needs to be transported by rail, so the demand. That is making it more difficult for rail operators, for rail freight companies to make a profit. And some companies address that by investing less and reducing costs. And that can work up to a point, but there is a limit to which it makes sense to keep reducing costs. You cannot keep doing that indefinitely.
Right. I mean, I think you see that a lot. I mean, I think the regardless of the industry, you know, when you kind of have a downturn in the market, the initial reaction is really to, you know, cut costs, right? And certainly the rail industry is a very asset intensive business. And it wasn't that long ago that because of capacity constraints in the trucking market and other and the price of oil and all that, I remember the conversation around a lot of shippers was, you know, they're converting, you know, or shifting a lot of their volume from trucking to intermodal and rail. And certainly, as you noted, I mean, kind of the market has swung in a different direction now. And now a lot of the assets that the rail operators have, the networks that they have to operate in a much different environment that they had in just just a few years ago. And again, I think it's true that, you know, cutting costs can only, you know, get you so far. So then the question becomes, then what else can you do, right? And I think that's really the focus of a guest commentary that you wrote recently that we published on Talking Logistics, where you argue that pricing is the most powerful lever, you know, profit lever available to rail operators today, but it requires a change in pricing strategy and approach. So first, let's talk about, you know, how pricing is traditionally done in the rail industry and what are some of the limitations and drawbacks there?
Yeah, so indeed, I think pricing is a nice other instrument you can look at to make sure that you can still make profits. So reducing costs is one, but if you look at the other side, then you can increase revenues. Traditionally, companies have typically taken the cost as a starting point and then adding a margin to that, so a cost-plus method. That is a bit rigid. That is a fixed form of pricing. So it does not adapt the prices to the situation at hand. And that has its limitations because it means that the price that results in is not always the right price for that point in time, for that particular situation at a particular company. With new technology, there are different options to do pricing in a different way.
Now, so let's talk now about, you know, maybe defining what pricing analytics is, because I think that might be a term that, you know, maybe some people are not very familiar with, or they may have a different interpretation of what that might mean. So what is pricing analytics exactly, and how does it, again, differ from the traditional pricing approach?
Yeah, so in the traditional pricing approach, typically pricing is defined by humans. With pricing analytics, there will always be also human expertise in the process, but the starting point is really data, and that is a very market change. The historical data that a company has is a valuable asset. It contains a lot of value for that company because you can find in it information about your market, so about how the market responds to your prices. So if you see that by varying the prices, you get varying amounts of demand, then in that way you can figure out information about the relation between price and demand. And that is really the key point on which pricing analytics is based. So if you have historical data that learns you about the relation between price and demand, then you can use that to change your price dynamically, such that the resulting demand is what you would like to have, given your capacity.
Now what type of data goes into this model?
Basically, it's the prices that you use, that you offer, and the result of that. What is the resulting demand of that price? What you can do with that, in a first basic approach, you can do a market segmentation. So you can see for different types of goods or different trajectories or different customers, any variable that influences your pricing, you can determine what is the effect of that variable on your pricing. And in that way, you can do a market segmentation. And in the simplest form, that is an analysis that teaches you about your own historical pricing behavior. So as a simple example, you could look at the average price that you charge for a given customer, so the price per customer. There can be differences in that. Then also, any other variables that affect the pricing, you can do exactly the same. In that way, you can build up a market segmentation, which could also be done by humans, but when you do it data-driven and with technology, then you get an objective result that is purely based on the data. And that really can already provide valuable insights into your own historical pricing behavior. That is the most basic form of pricing analytics, I would say. When you want to make that a bit more advanced, you can start to model the relation between price and demand. So if you know that currently, for example, for a given situation, 70% of your capacity is used, and you expect that if you keep the price the same, by the time the capacity, the train is leaving, basically 90% of that capacity will be used, then you notice that still 10% is left unused. That can be a reason to reduce your prices so that you get more demand and your capacity is fully used.
Now, it sounds to me that this is analogous to what the airlines, do, right? So as you and I, we both know that, you can go and look at the price for, airfare from, Boston to Chicago or New York to London. And on any given day, the price will be completely different. And even different hours of the day, it could be different because, the airlines have, again, analogous to what you said, they kind of have a lot of data knowing that when business people tend to book flights, when, they're looking at how many seats are still available, and they're kind of, driving this demand elasticity, if you will, by, using price as kind of that lever to try to use this capacity, like you said, that, if the train leaves, it's going to leave with that capacity, whether it's full or not, right? So you better to have some revenue attached to it than no revenue attached to it at the end of the day. I mean, is that a fair kind of analogy to kind of try to do what the airlines are doing and apply that in some ways to the rail industry?
I think it's a fair analogy. The basic principle is indeed the same. So you are varying your prices to actively influence your demand. That is indeed something that airlines have already been doing for a longer period, a longer time. In the rail industry, the pricing models are typically quite complex. And this will also be different when you're working with contracts. But the same principles still apply. There is always a customer that is interested in your services, and they have a certain price that they're willing to pay. And by doing analytics and using your own historical data, you can learn about that relation between price and demand and use it to your advantage. And I think that is a very promising area that now rail companies are also starting to be interested in our experience.
Great. So let's go back to, price, being the most powerful, profit lever for rail operators. I mean, how does pricing analytics, drive increased profitability? What are some of the KPIs or some of the areas that it helps to do that?
So the basic principle is that you want your available capacity to be used in an optimal way. If you are seeing that your expected use of capacity, expected utilization is too low, then you will want to reduce the prices. But you have to know by how much. And for that, you use the relation between price and demand that is found by this technology based on your historical data. In the same way, if you see that you have more demand than you can serve, than higher than the capacity, you can increase your prices and thereby reduce the demand. That is really the basic principle. In an ideal situation, the available capacity is used by those customers who are willing to pay most for it. And that may sound like it's not at the benefit of the customer, but I think that's not true. Because if a customer is willing to pay a higher price, that really means that for that customer, it is more valuable, it is more necessary or important to use that form of transport. And it could, for example, have been that another customer who already booked for that same train didn't really need to be on that train and could as well have taken the train the next day. Overall, the global efficiency is improved if that customer would then be moved to the next day, maybe at a lower price, and the customer was willing to pay more, gets a slot on the train that he really needs.
Yeah, no, good point. Now, you know, let's talk a little bit about kind of how enabling all this. Obviously, you know, technology plays a key role here in enabling pricing analytics. I mean, what capabilities, you know, are the most important or should, you know, are the most required, you know, to enable this?
Yes. So what is important is that this is connected to your planning technology, especially demand planning. Since there is a strong relation between price and demand, it is there's also a strong interaction between pricing analytics and demand forecasting. In basic demand forecasting, price is not taken into account. You are just forming a demand forecast. In more advanced forecasting, you have to take the effect of price into account. So then you are not predicting a single demand figure. You are really predicting the relation between the price and demand for a certain combination of origin destination, for example. So that is one aspect you need to integrate with a planning system, particularly demand planning. On top of that, visibility is important. So it's important to have an exact picture of where your capacity is available. So what is your current capacity in the different areas, different locations? And finally, if you want to do the holy grail of price optimization, there you would actually take into account your capacity over the whole world and also the demand in all the different regions and the relation between price and demand, so price sensitivity. And by taking those three factors into account, you can come up with a global optimal picture of utilizing your capacity. And for that, you really need advanced optimization. So what is important there to realize that is that you also have very good technology for optimization available. That exists nowadays, but it is not widespread, so you have to be careful in finding the right optimization technology.
Right. So to put it in simpler terms, if you're trying to do this with a spreadsheet, you're probably not going to get very far.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, obviously, when you consider all the benefits, and this question came in from Alan Van Bogen. I'm going to put it up in just a second here, but it ties into, you know, my question as well. Considering all the benefits, I mean, why haven't, you know, more rail operators adopted, you know, pricing analytics already? I mean, what are some of the big hurdles that have to be overcome? And let me just put Alan's question up on the screen as well. Because I think it probably relates to this in some ways. And his question is, well, how elastic is pricing in cargo rail? Is there a good research on this? Is not a lot of pricing built into long-term contracts with shippers, which I think suggests that maybe is the way that shippers and rail operators structure contracts have to change in order to make this possible? So I'm just kind of curious, you know, what are the hurdles to truly implementing this?
Yes, so I think this can inform contract negotiations. So if you know the value of your transport and the value for a particular customer, and more detailed the value of different modes of transport or different conditions, then you can take all of that into account in negotiating contracts with customers. And I think this principle is equally valid there. Another difference maybe is that some industries are more looking at new technologies than others, and there's also a lot of difference between different customers or different rail freight companies. And we are noticing that some rail freight companies are already actively starting to look into this. That may not yet be the case for all of them, but I think that is just a matter of time.
Right. So to paraphrase and correct me if I'm wrong. So it sounds like this is this is kind of an emerging approach that rail operators are looking at, and then ultimately, you know, applying pricing analytics is going to require some a change in approach in terms of the way shippers and rail operators negotiate contracts and how they work on an ongoing basis, perhaps when they have, when shippers have increases in demand, let's say, for rail that may not be covered under an existing contract.
Exactly, yeah. We are seeing the same thing in container shipping. That is, of course, a different industry, but it's also an industry where, that has been traditional, but where now new technologies such as this one are also really taking off. And we have actually already implemented this also in that industry, and it's definitely gaining more interest there as well. And I think the rail freight industry is another industry where this is also now becoming more relevant. So I think it's basically just a matter of time. These companies are collecting their data. That data is very valuable. You can learn a lot from that data, and there's no reason not to do so. And I think any company that doesn't do so, is missing out basically.
Great, Alan. Thank you for the great question. I mean, my takeaway from both the question and your response is that obviously in light of the changing operating environment out there, it behooves whether it's rail operators, whether it's shippers, whoever, you really have to continuously look for better and smarter approaches to managing your respective businesses and in how you work together. And I think this is kind of a stepping stone, toward that. From a shipper's perspective, if there's any shippers that are watching this, program, how does pricing analytics, affect them? I mean, does it benefit them as well, or is this a way for them, are they going to view this as this means we're ultimately going to pay more for, our freight?
So that is a good question. And at first, personally, I thought that if you look at it superficially, it might seem that if rail freight companies are making more revenue, then this has to be at the cost of others making less revenue. But interestingly, I don't think that's the case. And the potential here for improvement for both sides is making the market more efficient. So whenever currently you have a train leaving that is not using its full capacity, that is inefficiency. But also whenever there is a shipper who wants to ship something but doesn't find the available train, that is also an example of inefficiency. And I think the potential advantage of this technology is that you can better match the shippers to the available capacity, and in that way use the capacity more efficiently. And that clearly benefits the rail freight companies, but also the shippers, because they will then have the capacity available if that is possible. If the value justifies it, they can still find the capacity they're looking for. So I think there's actually a potential for both sides to gain using this.
Yeah, no, I agree. As I was thinking about this as well, putting on a kind of a shipper's hat, I thought the same thing. You're really talking about, the benefits of an efficient market, or trying to create an efficient market as possible. And it's just purely from a, going back to your economics 101 or free market, type of economic models. Ultimately, if it's an efficient market, both sides, end up, getting benefits in what they need. Edwin, we're kind of running short on time here, so I'm just going to go, right to my last question here. As a way to, wrap up, I mean, what steps should rail operators take to get started, with leveraging pricing analytics in their operations?
Yes. So in our experience, what works well is, not to try to make a big bang approach and go from nothing to the full-fledged best solution that you can think of, which we discussed would use optimization technology to optimally balance all the capacity given your information about demand and price sensitivity. What works better in our experience is to look at the current situation of the customer, the current maturity level, and then see how can you get from that maturity level to the next step, to the next maturity level. And in that way, step by step, improve and start to use the benefits that this technology affords you, and use your historical data, turn it into value. And in that way, step by step, move towards such an optimal situation. That's the approach that we would recommend.
No, I think that's great advice, which is, you know, the classic, you know, you got to crawl before you can walk, before you can run. And I think, you know, relating back to our conversation and the question that came in, I think, you know, there is going to be some change management, you know, involved here. And I think if you do start in a much more targeted way, realize those benefits, you know, identify those KPIs that are going to be positively impacted. And once you show that value, and ideally show that value not only to the rail operators, but also the shippers, you can then, you know, incrementally, you know, move up in terms of the sophistication curve and the value curve there. Edwin, like I said, all, you know, at the end of all our programs, we always manage just to scratch the surface here on the topics that we talk about. But I think we introduced a very good discussion here around pricing analytics as it pertains to rail. You know, certainly we got a great question, and I'm sure others will want to, you know, find out more. You know, certainly they can read the, I think you put a white paper together. Certainly they can read the guest commentary on Talking Logistics. But again, thank you very much for making the time to be with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you, Adrian.
Great. I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. Alan, thank you for your great question. If you are watching this episode on demand and you do have a question for Edwin, you can find the episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post a question or a comment there, and I'm sure Edwin will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.